Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane, and our host, as always, is psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. We are so glad you found the time to be with us today, especially the women in our audience, because we're going to tackle a sensitive topic that, quite frankly, you don't hear a lot of talk about on Christian radio. I'm referring to the Christian wife's understanding of her own sexuality and how that has an impact on so many parts of her life, particularly her relationship with her husband. So this discussion we're going to hear today will definitely be for women's ears only, if you will, and obviously not for children. Now, while talking about your sexuality might be a bit uncomfortable for you for whatever reason, we would definitely encourage you to stay tuned with us today if you want to have that vibrant, healthy, and holy intimate relationship with your husband. And let me assure you that our guests, Lorraine Pintus and Linda Dillo, truly handle this issue with grace and tact. A little bit about our guests. We've been honored to have them both here on Family Talk before, speaking about other subjects related to women and marriage, and I would encourage you to check those out at drjamesdobson.org. Together, these ladies have written a wonderful book for women. It's called Intimate Issues, 21 Questions Christian Women Ask About Sex. Linda Dillo is a former missionary and the mother of four, and she's actually launching a brand new ministry with our very good friend, Dr. Julie Slattery, called Authentic Intimacy, and that's designed to help women have better marriages. Lorraine Pintus walked away from a high-level corporate position years ago to be a stay-at-home mom for her two daughters, and she is now a popular speaker at the For Your Inspiration conferences. So let's listen in now as Dr. Dobson jumps right into the conversation with our guests, Linda Dillo and Lorraine Pintus, on this Family Talk broadcast.
Linda and Lorraine, it is good to have you all here today.
It's good to be here.
Thank you.
We live, obviously, in a sexually saturated culture where things are seen and heard every day that would have made our ancestors blush. With all of that sexual information that's out there, is there still a lot of confusion and misunderstanding about sexuality in women?
We feel there is enormous confusion, and I think that we would say that between 90 to 95% of women in our society do not have God's perspective on the sexual relationship.
You were saying before we went on the air that there is a great hunger for information about what it means to be a godly woman and how that relates to marital sex. What are you hearing?
What we hear, Dr. Dobson, is that the worse the world becomes, the more confused Christian women become. Christian women look at the world and they're so disgusted because the world has desecrated God's beautiful gift of sexual passion that He gave to husbands and wives. And so they say, well, I don't want to be like the world, but what does it look like for me to be a godly woman, but also a lover to my husband?
You interviewed more than 1,000 women about this subject. You asked them, what are the two questions you would most like to ask about marital sex specifically? What kind of responses did you get?
The most asked question by the women was, what is appropriate for a Christian couple in the context of their sexual relationship, and what is not appropriate? What does God say? And so we had to answer that
question. That was the number one.
That was the number one question. And I would say the second question was, is it possible to be godly and sensuous? Is that possible?
It is amazing to me that that question still has to be answered.
It's like the words are an oxymoron. They just don't go together. They're like plastic glass.
Yeah.
Godly, sensuous?
You know, in the early 1980s, I did a radio program on this subject and got a lot of mail from Christian women who were saying things that really surprised me, maybe shocked me. Such things as, it is not God's desire that there be passion in the sexual relationship, that it's wrong to be intense about it. Somehow that even in the context of marriage, they were displeasing God if they enjoyed it. I heard from a lot of women like that. And that idea is apparently still out there. And how can you read the Song of Solomon and not understand that passion is part of the whole plan?
It is absolutely one of the most passionate books in the Bible.
Yeah.
God's a God of passion, and I feel biblically that he delights in our delight in the passion between a husband and wife. But Dr. Dobson, what Lorraine and I see is that the world has so exploited the female body and exploited the whole idea of sex that a Christian woman says, I want to be the opposite, so I'm going to cover up the body. And if the world overemphasizes this subject, I will de-emphasize it in my marriage. And so what Lorraine and I feel we need to do is go back to the beginning and go back to the scriptures and say, why did God create the gift of sex for married couples? And what does he say? What is his perspective? This is where we have to go.
You began your book, Intimate Issues, with that perspective right there. The first chapter talks about God's viewpoint regarding sex. Summarize that for us. What is his viewpoint, and how does it differ from the world's perspective?
I think we see his viewpoint in Ephesians 5, verses 31 and 32, where the Apostle Paul quotes from the Old Testament, and he says, a man should leave his father and his mother, cleave to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And in the Greek, that word one flesh is talking about the act of sexual intercourse. It is talking about one flesh sexually.
Yes.
And then Paul goes on to describe that this one flesh relationship is a great mystery. But he says, I'm speaking of Christ and the church. And we have to say, what is he saying? One flesh intimacy in marriage is a great mystery, but somehow it's a picture of Christ and the church. And what we believe is being said here is that when a woman looks at the intimacy in the most intimate act on earth, the act of sexual intercourse in marriage, when she sees the beauty and the intimacy there, it's to lift her eyes to see the degree of intimacy that the Lord Jesus wants to have with each believer. And so if any of us had any question, what is God's perspective? This one verse says it's holy. So holy, he says it's a picture of our spiritual relationship. And women need to understand this.
And I think it's hard for them to understand this because our minds are so filled with junk. Every day we go through the world and we see headlines in the newspapers, we see things on TV, and it's putting junk in our heads. And so what we tell the women at the conference is what we need to do is we need to go back. We need to go back to the beginning, back to when God created that first man and that first woman, and see what was in his heart? What was in his mind when he fashioned the gift of sexual intimacy?
Yeah, in that chapter I was talking about, which is entitled, What Does God Think About Sex? You show how the pendulum has swung from one extreme to the other. I'm not sure that 100 years ago women or men understood God's view of sex either. In fact, you have some pretty humorous examples from the Victorian age where the advice given to women was, don't talk about it, stay under the covers with the lights off, submit and think about Mother England. That was kind of the attitude back a ways. But you quoted some of the early church fathers. Thomas Aquinas thought as long as sex was not enjoyed, marriage was acceptable for those unable to accept the requirements of monastic existence. Martin Luther had these words to say, quote, intercourse is never without sin, but God excuses it by his grace because the estate of marriage is his work.
Mm-hmm. That's very confusing.
It seems very confusing.
You know, Dr. Dobson, I don't think that most people knew that some of our church fathers said those things, but those attitudes have filtered down in our society.
All right. We went all the way from that, what I would consider to be extreme view, over to the excesses of today, and I won't even read all of those because they're pretty explicit, but the things that have been taught since the late 60s and early 70s and on down to this very day, it's becoming more extreme all the time, you know, where there is nothing wrong, there is nothing immoral, and mm-hmm. that lust is really a good thing. We need to talk about what the middle ground is between those two ends of the continuum, and that's what you're trying to address, isn't it?
Well, I'm not even sure it's a middle ground. It's a holy ground. Again, we are saying, come back. Come back to the beginning and discover what was in God's heart when he very first created the gift of sex for a man and a woman. It was so that one man and one woman for life, they could come together and be one, and in that oneness, they could reflect God. Now, that's holy. That's beautiful. And that was God's intent. But unfortunately, the world has taken this gift and so desecrated it.
We read the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, and we said, Holy God, would you please show us from your word why you gave the gift of sexual passion to married couples? And we found six reasons. And we feel this is the ground that women need to come to. Because
can you
this
quote
is
them?
I can quote them. The first is for procreation, that we might be able to join with God in creating life. The second is for an intimate oneness, a oneness like no other. The third is for unique knowledge. The fourth is for pleasure. And I think the thing that surprised us was that there's much more in the scripture about this reason for pleasure than all the other reasons put together. God wanted his gift to be enjoyed.
Well, give us some examples of that. We know about the Song of Solomon.
That's very explicit. End of Proverbs 5. Proverbs 5 is an admonition to a young man to avoid sexual pleasure outside of marriage. And then the alternative to that is given in the last verses of that chapter. And it says, drink from your own well, my son. Be faithful and true to your own wife. And then very, very specific, and I would have to say erotic words are used. It says, be ravished with her love. Always enjoy the ecstasy of her love. And this is all talking about a sexual love.
That doesn't sound like Mother England to me.
No, it doesn't sound like it to me either. God is very specific. And Dr. Dobson, I'm so glad that he was in his word, because when we go back to God's word, we find truth. And we need to block out what the world has said and what the culture has said, and just listen to God.
All right, Lorraine, talk directly to the Christian woman out there who is really interested in what we're talking about, because she's had the questions that you've heard from so many other women. What is it you want to say to her about her attitude towards sex in her own relationship with her husband?
I can speak to that because for many, many years I was that woman. I grew up with a very unhealthy attitude about sex. My father died when I was 7, so I was in a single-parent home, and my image of the sexual relationship was Ozzie and Harriet, you know, separate beds and long pajamas. And the rest of my learning came from the streets. It came from experience. I had no godly input. And so basically what happened is by the time I got married, I came to my husband with a garbage dump in my mind. And I had then become a Christian. And so now I'm wanting to grow. I want to be a godly woman. Well, what does a godly woman look like in the area of sexuality? The only input I had been negative and the world's perspective. I had no clue about God's perspective.
There just were not many books and not much material available at that time.
No, and really, the Song of Solomon, it's a beautiful book, but it's written in the style, the Hebrew style of lyric idea, which is poetry. And unless you have a little bit of explanation about what's going on here, you may not always catch all of the teaching under it. So basically, the first 16 years of my marriage, I divided my sexuality and my spirituality because my mindset was so bad that I viewed my spirituality as a good thing, a healthy thing, a godly thing. But my sexuality, that was too earthly. That was too worldly.
What a shame, Lorraine.
You know, it is.
So many women feel that way.
Many feel that way. And I have to say that it took getting into the scriptures and my dear friend Lyndon Dillow, who held me accountable. I have just come to this understanding probably in the last 6 years. And I'll tell you what, it's like I had a wall between my spirituality and my sexuality. But through the scriptures and through putting the good things in my mind, that wall has broken down.
That wall that you're talking about usually ends in silence between a husband and wife, doesn't it? It's not something you talk about. It's something you do. It's a duty, but it's not something you can be open about.
Well, and there was really no freedom and beauty because I did not want to be like the world. I'd seen what the world was, and I knew God had something different, but I wasn't quite sure what that was. So I would just sort of close up. And what Linda and I have seen is that to close up and to hide your sexuality is just as much a desecration of God's beautiful gift as what the world is doing. Exactly. We've got to get in the scriptures and see the freedom, the beauty, the passion, the holiness, the purity.
Hmm. And Dr. Dobson, we tell women, how do you begin to change? Mm-hmm. And we say, you may be surprised to find out that you don't begin to change in the bedroom. The change begins on your knees. Yes. And you need to go before God and say, God, give me a new mind. And give me an undivided heart. And you show me, your perspective, you show me how to become a godly and a sensuous wife. The Word of God says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the way we have seen great changes in women's lives is for them to plant the seeds of Scripture into their mind and literally memorize God's Word and meditate on it and pray it back to Him and say, God, make this true in me. Because we're transformed in
that
way.
Well, you obviously saw that happen in Lorraine.
I did. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it happen in others? Is this something that can occur? Is this a goal that's reachable?
In thousands of women.
I want to speak to that one because I feel if it can happen in my life, it can happen to anybody. And as we are traveling around, I tell you, if you came in and saw one of those conferences, your heart would break because there are so many walking wounded in this area. So many that have been hurt and damaged, and they don't know the freedom and the beauty. But I tell them, I say, you know what? If I can change, you can change because God really has done a miracle in my life.
You know, for those that might be a little repressed on this subject, and when it was announced at the start of the program today, said, why are you talking about something like that on Christian radio? This is the reason.
Yeah.
Because it is a big problem for Christian marriages. And many marriages break up over this issue.
Yes, many. And one of the things that we do at the conference is we take women through an exercise that helps them get a grasp of what their sexual mindset is. Because every one of us have a sexual mindset, and the mindset has come over the series of things that we have seen through, been exposed to for our whole lives. And most people don't understand what their sexual mindset is. So we try to help them get a picture of that because then they can go towards healing and healthy attitudes.
They can ask God to root out the wrong thought patterns and to put His Word in their minds.
You know, women are only half the problem. men come to marriage with some pretty bad ideas about sexuality, too.
Mm-hmm. And is that going to be your next book?
I think it's already been written. I believe Dr. Arch Hart wrote a book on that subject, and some others have. But I started writing about this very, very early in my book, What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women. Mm-hmm. I had the 10 sources of depression in rank order from about 10,000 interviews that I conducted and research that we did early on. And depression about sexual problems was number 5 on the top 10. Mm-hmm. So it was very much a problem then, and it still is today.
What we see, Dr. Dobson, is that many, many Christian women go into marriage with guilt over their past, guilt over wrong sexual choices. The statistics say 1 in every 7 women in our churches has had an abortion. Mm-hmm. Women are plagued with guilt. And we see woman after woman who subconsciously will not allow herself to really enter in to the joy and the freedom and the beauty in the sexual relationship with her husband, because somehow if she doesn't really enjoy this, she's proving to God she's sorry for her past.
Yeah.
And this is just a lie from the enemy, because we're forgiven.
And it recalls a lot of very painful experiences from the past.
We have seen some horrific, horrifically wounded women, and we have seen God do a healing. We are absolutely convinced that there is no pain, there is no situation that is so horrible that God can't heal it and turn it around.
Let's be specific about that. Let's suppose that we're talking about a woman who was quite a promiscuous teenager and slept with a lot of guys. And has seen it all. And now she's trying to be a godly woman and be faithful to her husband. And whenever she tries to respond sexually, she thinks about all of that.
Right.
Often women like that respond that way in the adolescent years because of something missing in their own lives.
Yes,
you know, the pain from sexual abuse or emotional abuse or the absence of a father, many things of that nature. So how do you get that woman past all that pain and all those memories?
First, we try to help her understand, again, what did God have in mind with sex? It's so that people could become one. Well, when you become one with somebody, that can develop soul ties. And once she understands why she's feeling guilt or agony or why she still thinks about this other person, maybe when she's in bed with her husband, we explain there's a soul tie there because God created sex so that we could be one. And we explain how to go through and break those soul ties to receive God's forgiveness and cleansing and to become whole again.
Is that in your book?
Yes, there is a section on that.
Well, Linda and Lorraine, thank you for your work and your dedication in an area that is helping so many women.
Thank you for being so bold and getting this message out, because the world is talking about sex a lot, and so we have got to bring God's perspective to the people. So we just really appreciate you.
Lorraine, isn't it unfortunate that we don't feel free to talk about this even from the perspective of Scripture?
Well,
the Bible talked about it. It was very explicit in a number of ways, especially the Song of Solomon, as we've talked about. And yet somehow we feel like we're over the line to even approach this subject in the way we have today.
I think it's because women don't know how to talk about it. Really, they don't really know the beauty. They don't know the passion. They don't know the purity. They don't have a handle on what it is that God designed in the beginning. And if you can get a handle on that, then we have something to say.
Linda, somehow everything sexual is thought of as wrong, isn't
it? That's right. And that's why Christian women are afraid to discuss it. In the back of our book is a 12-week Bible study, and we get calls and women say, I can't lead this on this subject. And we encourage them to do it, and they call back and say, yes, you can do this in the right way, and you can discuss it from God's perspective. And that's what we who call ourselves Christians need to begin doing.
I suppose it is reasonable that people would be nervous about this, because all through childhood, we're told, most of us are told, thou shalt not.
Right.
And then you get married, and that night, it is thou shalt regularly and with great passion.
That's right. Forever.
That's right. There's kind of a switch that
that's
needs
right.
to occur, and some people don't throw that switch.
That's
They're
right.
still hearing the tapes of the,
right.
The other
right.
information. We do need to get off the air, but there is so much that we need to talk about, so many more concepts that are here, and we're going to just continue this discussion again tomorrow. Linda and Lorraine, thanks again for being with us, and I do look forward to seeing you again next
time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, ladies, we do hope that this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk with our guests Linda Dillo and Lorraine Pintus has been a real help for you today. That's the purpose in our talking so frankly about a delicate subject. I can't help but think that many of you might need a little bit more help with this important issue that has such an impact on your marriage. And if you would benefit from seeking professional Christian counseling, we can certainly provide that connection for you today. Just give us a call here at Family Talk and ask about that. Our phone number is 877-732-7255. 6825. And of course, you can also find our counseling referral service online at drjamesdobson.org. And I would really encourage you to learn more through reading our guest's book. We do have that available here at Family Talk. Again, the title is Intimate Issues, 21 Questions Christian Women Ask About Sex. You can also ask about that when you call 877-732-6825 or find that online as well at drjamesdobson.org. And here in the close, if you are not needing help on this issue today, but you would like to have a hand in helping others through the Ministry of Family Talk, now would be a wonderful time to consider sending along a donation. Our financial contributions have been quite low over the past few weeks here in the summer. And if you would like to continue hearing Family Talk on these airwaves, we do need to hear from you. I will mention that one way you can help support us is by requesting this month's 3-CD set. It's called Defending America, and it's full of great information and inspiration for you as we all gear up for a very important election season. You can find that or give to our work one last time by calling 877-732-6825 or online at drjamesdobson.org. Thanks so much for spending this part of your day with us, and we do invite you to be back with us one more time tomorrow as we will conclude this conversation with Lorraine Pintus and Linda Dillo right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.